This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, folks. Monday, October 21st, 15 days away from the election. If you have not exercised your right and your privilege to vote, you should do so. Early voting has started here in Louisiana. They make it very, very easy for the next couple of weeks that you're able to vote. So take this opportunity to get out. You never know what's going to present itself on November 5th. Why take the chance? So go out and early vote. We have a great show lined up for you today. Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, in the 12 o'clock hour. We'll talk about how the green folks now are fighting against wind power. What's up with that? The whiplash at the Federal Reserve as rates cuts maybe later and smaller because of some of the data that's being released, economic data that's being evaluated. More and more folks from the Reserve are looking at it with a jaded view. It's going to be interesting to see where this ultimately ends up. And here we are, big week here, right? Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Taylor Swift is in town. The economic impact of this Taylor Swift concert, and more importantly, where there have been three-night stays, have been absolutely incredible. Many say on the level of a Super Bowl. Diego Bufquin, PhD, hospitality expert and professor of practice and director of the hospitality section at Tulane's Freeman School of Business, joins us. He teaches hospitality and management courses there. And we'll talk about what we can anticipate here in the Crescent City and what it looks like. And some of the tickets going for $2,500 to $3,000 and even more. Some have come down in price a little bit, which is what you see a lot for a lot of different concerts. And we'll talk about where we are, what hospitals rest. You can't get a reservation this weekend. So try hard. It's going to be tough because folks are coming in town, and that's a good thing. At 11 o'clock, we're going to talk to Lieutenant Colonel Daniel, a military expert at Defense Priorities. The aftermath of the killing of Yahya Sinwar, what does it mean? You have cut off the snake's head. Does the snake die? There are many that believe, no, that this is not a cult, Hamas. This is a movement. And as it relates to this movement, what is it going to take to reach peace? It's a simple question, but not a simple answer, right? Define peace in the Middle East. How does that look? What does it mean? How will it present itself? What does one have to give up as it relates to Israel? What does one have to give up as it relates to Hamas? What does one have to give up as it relates to Palestinians? Because this movement has been characterized as a mass movement. Well, who are the masses? Because we hear over and over again that a lot of the Palestinians are not aligned with Hamas. But if it's a mass movement and things are just not going to go away, and this issue potentially may not ever go away, well, then who are these people? And how do you deal with that situation? So it will be an interesting conversation with Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Davis. He talks about this extensively and have a lot of experts over at Defense Priorities. And they have some very interesting perspectives and positions, not all of which that I agree with. But I like to get people on both sides of the issue when they're willing to come on and talk about these things. I wanted to open up today with this week of Taylor Swift and understanding what these things actually mean to the city. You know, I had an opportunity to drive around the city over this past weekend a couple of times. Obviously, with no Saints game this weekend, there was a Tulane game uptown, and congratulations to the Green Wave and the Tigers as well for big wins this past weekend. I'm going to be honest with you. It didn't look good. There was garbage all over the interstate. There are new homeless camps being set up under the Carrollton Exchange. There are more homeless that I've seen under the overpasses. The area surrounding the French Quarter, it's filthy. And if this is the best foot forward for us and continues to be the best foot forward for us, we're going to have a problem. We're going to have a serious problem because we are in the competition business. People don't like to come and visit a city that's not clean, that doesn't present itself well. I was just on the East Coast, and the places that I remember the most of our travels there are those that presented itself well and were clean. And they managed to pick up the garbage. They managed to pick up the debris in the street. Yeah, maybe we have a mentality here, albeit not a good one, not a smart one, not evidence of being bright by any stretch of the imagination, of wanting to just throw our garbage and refuse out of the car window or whatever. And I'm sure they have those there. They seem to be able to deal with it. Somehow, some way, it's picked up. It was in a small area, a little town. Hundreds of thousands of visitors, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. They seem to be able to pick up the garbage. I mean, it completely mystifies me how we cannot get to that point here. And travel is getting tough. In fact, Bankrate just reported, and we have the folks from Bankrate on this show all the time, whether it's Mark Hamrick or Ted Rossman or others that are analyzing data all the time that's incredibly meaningful. Well, Ted has an article that's out that says more than 4 in 5 holiday travelers are changing their plans due to inflation. Holiday travelers are making their plans because of changing their plans because of inflation. Nearly one-third, 32%, anticipate traveling fewer days than they otherwise would have. 30% are picking less expensive accommodations and or destinations. 28% are driving instead of flying to their destination. And 25% are engaging in cheaper activities. What this tells me is that the competition is going to get greater, not less. You have to be more innovative. You need to think about what it is that you're going to present here. And the interesting thing about this administration is that, or the previous one, or the one before that, and the one before that, it's no secret that we are wedded to the hospitality and tourism industry. We could talk about that may not be the best industry to be wedded to, but the fact of the matter is that they play a significant role economically in our region. And that begs of one to treat it as that way. And we seem to forget. And we seem to not be able to get everything clicking on all cylinders in order to do it. How many people are coming here from out of town over this weekend for the Taylor Swift concert and the economic impact? It is an opportunity loss, an opportunity missed, if we don't get ourselves cleaned up. We got a lot of work to do between now and then. It'd be nice to get all the debris in the east off the interstate. It'd be nice to get all the debris off the interstate at Carrollton Exchange and in other areas that I witness. There's debris all over the place. Traffic accidents, leaving behind bumpers and this and that and everything else. It's horrible looking. And I don't know where we need to change. You know, when we call out a wrecker service or whatever, I've seen this in other areas, that they are charged with cleaning up the accident scene, cleaning up the bumpers, cleaning up the fenders, cleaning up the glass that's out there. And somebody has to pay that bill, whether it be the person at fault or whoever it may be. I don't know. I don't really care. It just needs to get done. We need to think out of the box and get really aggressive and deploy shock and awe when it comes to this, because if we are going to compete at a high level, these are the things that are important. Drove from Boston to the mountains in New Hampshire to see the leaves change. It was interesting. No garbage. Where did it go? I have to imagine they had accidents on that stretch of highway. It's heavily trafficked, leaving Boston proper. Little to no garbage. These things, you notice them right away. Human nature is all about the first impression is a lasting impression. So when you're faced with data like this that's coming out about holiday travel and things of that nature, shorter, cheaper options, you know, folks are being very mindful and prudent with their money. Their perceptions of certain things don't go down. In fact, human nature is it goes up. And they're paying closer attention, not only to their finances, but what they're getting in return for the money that they're spending. And if what they're getting is filth, and what they're getting are things less than, they don't come back. And we are totally reliant on folks that come back. It's incredibly important to our economy. We've had New Orleans and Company, Michael Heck, Greater New Orleans Inc., so many other Sports Foundation folks, all singing off the same sheet of music that we have to get our hands around this issue. We got to deal with the presentation of the homeless. We got to deal with the garbage. We got to deal with the potholes. We got to deal with the state of the infrastructure here, or otherwise we're not going to be able to continue to win in this competitive arena of tourism and hospitality. And I don't know who the person is that we need to touch in the administration to gain a better understanding of as how critically important this truly is to the success of the city. Tommy Tucker had Councilman J.P. Morrell on earlier, talking about bringing multiple sections of the city that are dysfunctional together in the hopes of having an efficient operation. One dysfunction plus one dysfunction plus one dysfunction does not equal operating efficiency. And he's right. Not many people are willing to make that admission about serving in the legislative body of the city that presents itself in this way. And we continue to go on and on and on, and we don't really see a sustainment of our approach in the attack on some of these issues. We go at it in 1 and 2 and 3 week increments, and then it seems to go away. And I know I sound like I'm preaching here, but I want so bad. To succeed. Because what I hear when I'm out there is interesting. There are people that are completely and totally intrigued about this place called New Orleans for a whole host of reasons. And when they do decide to dig deep in their wallets, in their pockets, to spend the money to come here, we want to make sure that every aspect of their travel, of their visit, and otherwise, is an A+. And that's the way we win. Folks, we're going to go to the talk lines. I'd love to hear from you. This is your opportunity to not only weigh in on this issue. I chose it today because, one, of this article, one, I recently traveled, and over the weekend I happened to drive around the city running errands and saw what I saw, and it just occurred to me, you know, I just scratching my head. Why can we not get our hands around this issue? Why can we not figure out how we're going to manage garbage in this city in a more appropriate fashion? I don't know. Love to hear from you. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A lot of texts coming in describing similar circumstances or experiences that I had, as I described in the Northeast of other areas of the country. And, you know, so I'm not the only one that's experiencing this, seeing it, witnessing it, and asking the question, why? Let's go to Janice on line one. Janice, you're up. What say you?
Good morning, Lou.
Good morning.
My husband and I have always taught our kids not to throw trash religiously. And I agree with you that some of our residents are horrible about throwing trash out of their cars or just on the street. But also, I've observed visitors, especially in the quarters, they urinate on the sidewalk. They act like they never would in their own city. And just chaos. You know, that they are not. They are some of the problem also. They come here and do things they never would do in their, at their own city. They wouldn't allow us to do it. So that is not right.
No, absolutely.
I don't like
you. 100% on, Janice. So, I mean, look, if you're willing to accept less, that's what you're going to get, less, right? Obviously, there's certain things that we allow here that most other jurisdictions don't allow. It was interesting. I interacted with a number of folks in the Northeast, and I said, man, you know, I cannot believe that y'all are allowed to take a drink out of a bar and just walk in the street and drink it. And, man, I would love to do that here. I thought to myself, well, it's great, but there are a lot of things that go with it that you have to manage, and if you don't manage it, it'll get away from you. And what you just described is one of those downstream implications of that, right?
And with the security, the extra security in the quarter, they should try to stop that, you know, but they don't want to upset the tourists. But that's very disrespectful. But I make sure if I have a piece of trash that I cannot throw anywhere, I'll put it in my pocket. You know, I'll wait till I find a garbage can. But
every
day,
and other places, I make it my business to pick up one piece of trash. If I'm at the grocery store in the parking lot, I pick it up. If I see it in the street, on my street, last week I stopped, picked up a piece of garbage that I saw in the street on my street, put it on the floorboard of my car, and when I got home, I threw it away.
And, you know, I visited California last year, and it's pristine, a certain part of California. You know, I asked my brother, I said, wow, it's always clean, no potholes. And you're right, it's city services. He said the minute there is a void in the street, they fix it. They pick up the trash. They keep it up. I mean, it's, you know, it's like night and day. And, yes, our city is at fault, too, by not enforcing a lot of the laws. So that's all
I
wanted to say.
Well, thank you, Janice. Appreciate the call. Have a great week. Let's go to Travis. Travis, you're up.
Good morning, Noel. First and foremost, thank you very much for all your service to Jefferson Parish.
Thank you.
As far as talking about kind of keeping the streets clean, I'm from New Orleans, born and raised out in Metairie. But in Chicago, I lived there for a decade. If you own an establishment, the establishment is responsible for the sidewalk up to midway of the street to be cleaned at all times. If somebody walks by, a police officer walks by and there's garbage out, they can walk into that establishment and say, hey guys, y'all need to come clean it up. If they don't do it, they get a ticket. I understand that the, you know, that sidewalk and everything's city property, but the establishment takes a little bit of, you know, personal pride in it to keep their area clean. And if everybody did that, then you get everything a lot cleaner. And in the Northeast, they still have to-go cups. They just call it coffee cups. They just fill them with other things.
Yeah, I heard that as well. But, Travis, you know, you're right. If you walk down any street in downtown New Orleans or in the quarter or otherwise, you recognize right away what business owners are maintaining their sidewalks, right? I mean, you can see it immediately.
Yeah, 100%. It's just in Chicago, it's actually a law. I don't know if it's a law or whatever. But if they could implement in our city, you do the same thing all of a sudden, then, you know, when the police officer's walking by, they can walk in, hey, it's not done. Hey, oh, okay, we'll fine you. Even if it's a $10 fine, if you start hitting $10 fines, you do $500 a day, that's $5,000 going to the city. Now, whether or not you get paid on them all, that's a different story.
Right, yeah. Collection is not something that we're good at either, for sure. Travis, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Mike. Mike, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Noel, I think the problem maybe is threefold, not to simplify it, but, you know, we have a lack of leadership down here. You mentioned Boston, been there many times. I mean, that city is pristine, as you just saw. I mean, the streets are just perfection up there. You feel safe walking around. You go to Charleston, South Carolina, the same thing. They're eating our lunch all day long, no pun intended, as far as being one of the foodie destinations. I look at a lot of the lists, and Charleston's always number one or two. New Orleans used to be up there. I have a lot of clients and friends that live out of town. Nobody wants to come here. I mean, we just have a horrible reputation. So I would boil it down to a complete lack of leadership. I mean, that's just blatantly obvious. And then I'd follow up with an idiotic populace down here, uneducated, don't care, party mentality, would rather live in filth down in the French Quarter and all the garbage that just piles up. I never go there anymore, would love to. And then law enforcement, to that lady's comment, you know, people come down here and they do what they do. I think law enforcement needs to have the teeth to really make it painful for people, residents and out-of-towners, to make sure that we walk the line down here. You know, go to Charleston, go to Boston, as you just did, D.C., all these cities are well-managed, and it's a whole different experience. You come in here and it's just slime.
Yeah, I don't really, and most of the cities that you mentioned are, you know, obviously tourism and hospitality cities, but not to the extent that we are, right? And they have a much more diverse economy, a lot of those cities as well, than we have here. Some don't, but some do. And it puts a bigger strain on us to make sure that we're doing these things. And I think you're right. The lack of leadership and setting priorities and where we're going to be, you know, on these issues are incredibly important. You know, I get a text that, you know, another sign of a little bit of ignorance. Bye-bye, move to Charleston. Well, you know, that's not the attitude either, right? I mean, people care. They want to have a difference made in their communities. They're paying a lot of taxes. And whether you're paying it within the city or in the metro area, the whole area benefits. A tide rises for all. If there's one that's dragging the other down, they all suffer. And I mean, we have to get off of this parochial mentality and gain a better understanding of how the inner workings of our little micro economy works down here through the metropolitan area. And people that don't really know or care, that's how they respond. But we have a lot of that. And we're not going to solve problems with that attitude, right?
So to your point, Mool, you know, being a one-trick pony down here, being tourism-based, we need to step it up even more and really make sure that we do a bang-up job in that one industry, because we don't have anything else to lean on. What's the reason we don't have anything else to lean on? Who knows? One of which may be a very uneducated populace down here. What Fortune 500 company would want to come down here and have the have to choose from the employee base down here? So I think it's all tied together. But, yeah, we're the city that care forgot. We need to start caring, and we need to say we're a tourism city. We need to give the best experience ever for people to come into the city.
You know, it's interesting.
We just don't care. The residents, the leadership, we just don't care. I know what you're talking about on the interstate. I saw it the other day, the bumpers, the glass, everything. It just looked horrible.
Yeah. And then we're having more homeless encampments. I mean, there's a huge one. They're collecting. It looks like they're running a bike shop or something.
I thought that was now illegal to do as per something that the feds just did. Is that not true?
No,
I mean,
there's all kinds of rules and regs, both by city, states, and the federal government. I'm not sure that they all align. But, Mike, I was going to make a point. I went to the FBI National Academy in 1983. I was 25 years of age. And almost every one of my class, 200 law enforcement agents, 200 from the United States, 50 from countries around the world. And I was shocked in 1983 how many men and women that were there had advanced degrees that were members of law enforcement. At the time, at the JPSO, we had less than a dozen of roughly 1,000-plus employees. We ended up growing a lot bigger through the 80s and early 90s that had advanced degrees. And it really was an eye-opener for me as to the state of the state of how undereducated we actually were in comparison to others. And it didn't matter if you came from the Rust Belt, from the Mideast, the Midwest, the West, the East. It was roughly, you know, the same, and this was the leadership of, and not the top leaders, but, you know, the mid-level supervisors and otherwise in this training. It's 3 months up there at Quantico, Virginia, and it was amazing to me just how many people were just so well-educated, and I'd never experienced that in the South. It has changed a little bit, but I'm sure it's still not to the level that it is in other areas of the country. And like I said, it was a real eye-opener, that experience at that point in time. Thank you so much for the call, Mike. When we come back, folks, we'll go back to the talk lines. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We can talk about what I opened up with or anything else that you desire. We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks. Let's go back to the talk lines. Ray, you're up. What say you?
Well, when it comes to the homeless, if you move them from one location, they're homeless. They're going to go find another location. I mean, they're homeless. Do we expect them to all of a sudden find a home? I don't know what you do about that, but you're just moving them from one location to the other until we figure out how to put them someplace or deal with them. They're still going to be homeless somewhere, right?
Well, they have a number of programs that the city has worked on, and to their credit, it's been somewhat successful. But obviously, I don't know that we can continue to let folks go where they want, when they want, and how they want. And it just doesn't present
well.
Other cities seem to be able to work it out. As I walked around Boston, for example, I didn't see a single tent. Not anywhere.
Okay.
Now, I'm not sure what they're doing there.
Isn't the trash thing, it's like a personal responsibility, right? I mean, we as humans take it upon ourselves to have respect for ourselves and this town we live in, to put your trash. I'm a field service mechanic. I drive all day, okay? I have trash in my truck. I don't roll the window down and throw it out. I got a bag. I put it in a bag. When I stop and get fuel, you know what? There's a trash can. I'll put it in the trash can. It's a personal responsibility. But in this town, we don't have respect for that. We don't have personal responsibility. It's somebody else's problem to deal with that trash that I throw out my window. I don't know.
And that's part of it.
I'm watching a guy right now. He's cutting grass, okay? He's on a riding lawnmower, and he's cutting grass. And there's trash out there. Does he stop and pick the trash up before he cuts it? No. He runs over the trash. So instead of having one, two, three pieces of trash, now what we got? We got dozens of it because he runs it over with the lawnmower. Then he comes behind with the blower and he just blows it out on the street. I mean, hello.
Yeah.
I just, you know, it's,
and
it's,
there
it's
are,
a personal
there are other jurisdictions
thing.
There are other jurisdictions that won't allow that, right? I mean, you know, the state of dumpsters, the quality of the dumpster, the fencing around the dumpster, the ability of power spraying your parking lots and things of that nature, which you find in many other jurisdictions, is that they are required to do that as business owners. And no one wants to be increased costs there, but people have to care if we're going to pretty this place up. And without caring, and as you pointed out, without having personal responsibility and holding people accountable, we have what we have right now. And it's not going to bode well for us in the long term. Yes, we are incredibly successful in spite of ourselves. I say this all the time. Because our hospitality and tourism industry as a whole, the folks within there work their tail off to put their best foot forward each and every day, and they are successful. I love these people. But their job could be a hell of a lot easier if everybody else rallied around it, the city, the services, and did what we needed to do collectively and collaboratively together to get the benefit, all those cliches, you know, the of what happens when you work together, be a big difference for us. And when you travel, what I recognize it and see it right away. And every time I come back, I talk about this. I mean, I don't know how they do it. I didn't spend any time talking to folks, but I know what the outcome of whatever the effort is. And I don't know if it's personal responsibility in combination to a lot of other things, which is what I suspect. But we don't seem to be able to get it together here. And that's a problem. And we need to address it. And that's why I bring it up, because I think we need to talk about it. If we don't talk about it, we don't point out some of the things that are obvious where we're less than, I don't know that we're ever going to improve. Ray, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Bill. Bill, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. The gentleman before mentioned how the fellow on the riding lawnmower mowed up and blew the stuff out into the street. I think it ought to be proposed that the property owner is given a fine when his gardener or whoever's taking care of the lawn blows the stuff out into the street. You think that would fly?
No, I think that's the most appropriate place to put it. I mean, that individual works for that property owner, right? I mean, that's where the obligation ought to lie, as well as it should be a shared responsibility of that vendor that's cutting the grass.
Well, you would expect that's what it's all about. But again, when you go back and you look at the amount of flooding that comes about, I just wonder what the Sewage and Water Board, I wonder if they keep any statistics as to how much leaves and grass material do they dig out of these major canals when they do go back and clean them out. You know, that would be an interesting stat, but I doubt very seriously they keep anything like that.
Yeah, I don't know. But we do know that they're cleaning them out all the time when we find out that water doesn't flow because of the amount of debris that's
right
in the canals.
Right, and we put a big blame on and a big push towards, you know, holding back on Mardi Gras with, oh, look at how many Mardi Gras beads they get out of the sewers and that kind of thing. But that's probably tiny compared to what they get when they blow all the material, leaves and stuff out into the street. It just gripes me to death to see that happen.
Well, you know, Mardi Gras is a unique circumstance, and I'm not as objection. I don't raise a lot of objection to it, because that's a lot harder thing to manage and monitor. I get it. I think we're better at it, quite frankly, than we've ever been, and I think we're getting better with gutter guards and things like that to prevent the Mardi Gras debris from going into the drainage system. I really do believe that the city's done a better job there, and they should be given credit. Is there more that they could do? More likely than not, yes. But we're making progress. there, but it is a unique circumstance, and it's something that's very difficult to manage. So it'll be interesting. Well, Mark, I got to get to a break. Thank you so much for the call. Have a great week. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Stay with us. On the text line, drive down Alvar under the bridge over Florida Avenue, and you're going to see the new dump. There's a multi-million-dollar company that runs from the canal to the I-10, and no regards to this company, any part of this area over here, nothing but scum out there. And I'm getting text after text after text of areas around the city where folks are obviously incredibly frustrated. Folks agreeing, said I was out on the East Coast not long ago, had the same experience, drove around, didn't see all the garbage that we're seeing here. Lived in Lakeview for 25 years. I was the only resident who swept the street in front of their house, cleaning oak leaves from drainage grates. It annoyed me to no end to see water pooling in the street. There's a lot that we can do to help out, folks, and we should. Make it a goal. Pick up one piece of trash in the street every day. When we come back, Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Davis will talk about the killing of Yahya Sinwar and what's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.